Blog Talk Radio.
Hello out there, and welcome to Spirit Therapy. My name is Nicole Tomasini, and today we are talking about time. Can I get a minute? So, we have to start with something like this. And that is, of course, Madonna and Justin Timberlake, and mixed with Mix-a-Lot Timberland, which is pretty funny, Timberlake and Timberland. I was just thinking about it while the song was playing, and I was like, wow, interesting. The Timbers are doing all kinds of things with the music, huh? And maybe because music is so grounding, of course, timber, wood, earth. Just a thought there. And then, of course, mixed in with a little Madonna. How can you not love it? Unless, of course, you don't love it. But anyway, welcome, everyone. And I had to play that song because it's just such a go topic time. I have to say, I was a little annoyed by this topic. Excited, yet annoyed, and thought about not doing the show 20 times. Even though I knew that I was going to do it. Why was I so annoyed? Well, I asked myself the same thing. One could be because there seems to be these children. There's one, maybe two, but there's especially one who apparently has come of age to be outside, and she is a screamer. Oh, my God. This child, I mean, I live right in front of a playground, so... And I've lived here for over 10 years, so I'm used to the sound of children, and I'm used to yelling and all those things, and it generally does not bother me. But lately, this child, OMG. If I were her parent, I would be like, okay, see, no, we are not making that noise at all, ever. Doesn't. And then the other parents that have to sit there, I mean, I'm 8 floors above it, they're all listening to this just... What's the word? Shrill, squeaky, shrill, wah! Just, I can't even make the sound. So anyway, that may be part of my annoyance, but it also made me think about time. Why is it annoying? All right, so it's just a sound that I have decided that is annoying to my physical ears, my soul to listen to, but... If it was for a short amount of time, I'd be okay with it. Would it still annoy me? Is it the duration of having to listen to this screaming that exponentially gets me more and more annoyed? But again, it's only my perception of time and how much time has passed and how much of that time I am tuned in to that noise and how long am I thinking about how annoying it is and therefore getting myself more annoyed? Right? Isn't that how it happens when anything that we find just, you know, the Chinese water torture kind of an annoyance, something that's just monotonous but yet not monotonous enough to just blend into the background? It calls our attention. and we don't want to pay attention to that, so we find it annoying. But really, it's us that's deciding to pay attention to it. So why can't we just switch our brain and go, yes, that's annoying, and then let it be and not hear it or not have this response to what's going on? So I think that can be applied to a lot of different situations in our lives. And I think that's also why I was annoyed with this topic, because while thinking about time, I can feel the vibration of rush. Everybody is in such a rush. And yeah, I live in New York City, but I think it's universal, especially, I guess, the closer you live to a city, probably the more rush it's all about. But I think no matter what kind of a lifestyle you're living, rush and this idea of not enough time can be very prevalent, for instance, in society's timelines that they say, well, you need to get married by this point, you have to have a baby by this point, you have to be making a certain amount of money by this point, have a steady career by this point, so that at this point you can cash in your 401k, go on a cruise, and then, you know, good luck until it's over. So, you know, I think that society is set up, I don't know if you can hear this child, but she is at it. A little bit. Anyway, see, attention. But how much of society is built on this timeline of just go, step forward, next, 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 prepare for summer. Well, you have to, you know, get yourself ready for winter, and, you know, you only have a certain amount of time. You better get out there and see the sun and get this done and, you know, prepare for this. And so how much of this time are we really just being in the present? Are we just being with ourselves, which is the only place, A, we are truly ever, is in the present, and also the only place that we can ever do any kind of work on ourselves and understanding of ourselves. And by doing work and understanding with oneself, that's how we can enjoy our time more. So just like the hands of a clock, you can see how it's all cyclical. It's funny to use the word cyclical, because it has the word sick in it, but you just have to keep going, and then sick comes in the cyclical, circular. Circular is much better. Anyway, different ways of looking at time. So how about that? Why don't we go into that? So if we're enjoying ourselves and having a good time and there's no time limit, then we're really in the present moment, because time has now ceased to exist. It doesn't have to bother us. We don't have to worry about it. So we just enjoy our time, as opposed to something that we don't want to do, feel that we have to do, i.e. go to work, make money, travel, you know, destination-wise, like on the subway. These things that can be something that we don't want to do, and then we go, oh, this is going to take forever, or when is this going to be over? I remember standing at the bar. I was a bartender for 10 years, and the last couple years, I was really done, and every day was more of an example of how done I was. So talk about exponential annoyance factor of get me out of here, get me out of here, get me out of here, get me out of here. But that time had to happen so that I could come through that time and move forward. But anyway, I just remember being so annoyed and wanting to squirrel away any time for myself that I possibly could. I was glad that I was a smoker, because it was an excuse, any excuse to get out of there for 5 minutes. And I used to time it so that I could go out of there as much as possible to have me time. And then what did I do with that me time? Well, that was really the beginning of me waking up into who I am today. It was such a miserable time that it helped me to find that there are much better ways of spending your time. And those minutes that I squirreled away were the times where I would just stand outside and stare at the church across the street. And in between asking God why he had forsaken me and left me in this place, I thought about all these things that I was reading about, like vibration and law of attraction, and what was I doing to have made this happen? What was my worthiness? What was my idea of myself? So, you know, in 5-minute increments, sometimes half an hour for lunch and then maybe an hour on the way home. But you can see where this time can really add up into you're really doing work on something while you are also at work working for your money. So talk about multitasking, you know, multitasking. Good idea or not, send your comments to Spirit Therapy with Nicole, because multitasking, I've always enjoyed multitasking, and I'm the type of person that if you can get it done and you can get 3 other things done at the same time, well, then go for it. And now I realize, of course, it has to be in balance, otherwise, you know, it can become some sort of uneasy juggling act. That's not fun to watch nor do. So multitasking can be great, but it also can take you out of the moment because you're focused on 4 different things. Now that can be the moment. In this moment, I am focusing on 4 different things to the best of my ability, and that is this moment. Of course, it's always that moment, but are you aware of that? Or are you just trying to keep all 4 balls in the air just because you can, but it's not necessarily enjoyable? If you see, this is the through line, the theme. Is it enjoyable? The point, really, with time, isn't it? We really just want to enjoy our time, no matter what we're doing, as much as possible. So clearly, we're going to go sort of around the table and look at different things as to how we can enjoy our time and give you little tidbits. That's the third and hopefully final thing that I'll say about being annoyed with this topic, time, is that I wasn't getting a clear through line as to exactly what I was going to talk about. Of course, time, thinking about time. I'm like, okay, time, do we have enough time? Time is money, all those phrases that I posted on the page. But okay, so what with you and your time? What do you want? Time always wants something, but not necessarily. You see where you can just sort of flip back and forth with the time. I'll tell you one other story, and then I have a couple short things to play for you to see where this time discussion will go. But I just always used to have a problem with being late. I was always late. I was born late. I was always late for school. I was late waking up, just late. And it got to the point where it wasn't just obviously annoying other people that had to wait for me, but it was really getting on my nerves that every time I went to go somewhere, it would become this difficult, aggravating struggle, which clearly, now that, you know, we all understand more about the law of attraction, I was putting that out there so much I'm going to be late. I'm going to be just, oh my God, look, and now I'm late. Oh my God, I'm so late. Right. You know, that's just like a spiraling thing. So it's been a while since I've done that. And the way that I fix that, if any of you relate to the lateness, the way I fixed that was to make peace with the time gods. Sit down, take the time to sit down and go, okay, time and those who keep time and gods of time, I'm done with having a hard time with you. So let's learn to communicate. And this is how I want time to go for me. These are the types of vibrations I want with time. And I listed it. You know, I want it to be easy breezy. I want it to just flow and I get everywhere perfectly, a little early, a little later, but it's always in perfect timing. I want the trains to be in nice, perfect order, da, da, da. And if it is a problem, it's not really a problem for me because it's not a day where I'm going to be late. You know, any of these scenarios, and you just talk to the time gods and say, thank you very much. I'm very much looking forward to communicating with you on this level, especially tomorrow when I need to go to X, Y, and Z. And then in order to help it along, this new vibration and understanding that you've now come to with the time gods, give yourself way more time. If you usually start to get ready for work at 7:30, get up at 6, like really get up at 6 and give yourself more than enough time, as much as you possibly can, to just allow that to happen. And so you're already giving yourself a little more nudge in the right direction by the understanding and the vibration of, oh, I have plenty of time today. I gave myself an extra whatever. Oh, it's plenty of time. Now, of course, you can also mess with it and you can also say, oh, well, I have plenty of time, so now let me futz around or clean half the house or do all these other things. And you're like, oh, no, I'm late. It doesn't, you know, you may or may not do that. I did that plenty of times. You know, when people say, oh, just take your time. Well, that always meant that I was going to be late because I would take my time. And my time means for some reason I'm going to have to be late. I think it's something about the control of time that I instinctually kind of balk against, even though now that I made that peace with the time gods, I am no longer perpetually late, I am happy to say. And if I am late, it's for a very good reason, either, you know, the outside world or something that I had to do that took me a little longer. But now it's not that vibration of, oh, I'm so late. Oh, no. Oh, I can't get anywhere on time. You know, it's, oh, well, that day I was a little late because things happened, but I'm already in the right vibration of time. And it's moving forward perfectly. And you'll see there are so many examples of it working out when you start out your day on that vibration. Being in touch with time and in time with time, knowing that time is malleable and pliable and is always going to bend around whatever your vibration is. Do you think that your time is the same as anybody else's time? Maybe, maybe not. Which, interesting. All right. I found this thing. I'm laughing because I'm just going with the flow of things to talk about. So here we go. I found this write-up on the third dimension that we live in and going into the fifth dimension. So, which that means to me, why did we skip the fourth dimension? We're already working in the fourth dimension and we're pushing forward into the fifth, and then our work will be totally in the fourth and then moving into the sixth. This seems to be the progression. So, you know, whether that makes sense or not, I'm going to read this because I think it gives a nice understanding of time from a metaphysical manner and what's happening with time now especially. And if you're listening to the show and you're doing any kind of work on your spiritual side and getting in touch with your energetic side, vibration, any of these things, this is where we're working. So I'll set it up with that. This is from the website in5d.com. We are living during a monumental time in which humanity is experiencing a shift to higher consciousness. We are shifting from third dimension consciousness to fifth dimension consciousness. The following is what one may experience once they have reached fifth dimension consciousness and beyond. When a person reaches fifth dimension consciousness, they may experience existing in a permanent state of peace, bliss, love, and joy. No effort is required on their part to remain in this state. This takes place naturally and automatically. All dissonant energy is automatically filtered out. In addition to automatically existing in a permanent state of bliss, love, and joy, people who have reached fifth dimension consciousness may begin to automatically see themselves in everyone, whether it be humans or animals. They may also begin to automatically feel love for everyone. Furthermore, no negative thoughts stream into the mind of a person who has reached fifth dimension consciousness. In fact, all negative thoughts are automatically filtered out of their mind. The mind is also automatically quiet without the constant chatter that flows into the third dimension mind. In fact, there are not very many thoughts that enter a mind that has reached fifth dimension consciousness unless the thoughts are necessary in moving them from one event or moment to the next event or moment. When a person reaches fifth dimension consciousness, their perception of time may slow down considerably. Time on the clock of the wall may seem to pass by more quickly, but the mind does not perceive that very much time has passed. This may be compared to what is said happens when a person experiences physical death. During physical death, a person transitions from third dimension consciousness to fourth dimension consciousness. It is said that while years may pass on the earth, it may seem like only minutes have passed in the spirit world. Our perception of time slows down as we transition from third dimension consciousness to fourth dimension consciousness during physical death. This is why it may seem that not much time has passed in the spirit world, while a lot of time has passed on Earth. Just a little bit more here. So the near-death experience. Those who have had a close brush with death as a result of an accident or nearly being in an accident may have noticed that their mind starts moving more slowly in these situations. Everything appears to happen in slow motion. The soul is getting ready to transition from third dimension consciousness to fourth dimension consciousness in this situation so that the person may exit through the portal or they come through, you know, at the last second. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I mean, I think that's definitely part of it. You know, if it's your time, it's your time and you're going to transition. But I think those moments of, you know, high alert and awareness, it's you're using more of yourself to help yourself so that you can save yourself. And so it is third and fourth dimension maybe becomes really strong. And it's also the place that you go when you transition. How about that? Okay, so, and then one may also notice that if they use self-hypnosis or meditation, it may also seem as though not much time has passed, but according to the clock on the wall, a lot of time may have passed. Again, in these cases, the mind is transitioning beyond the third dimension. So, just one little thing here, which is interesting. When a person reaches fifth dimension consciousness, they only live in the present moment with no reference to the past. They can access past memories if they need to. However, a person who has reached fifth dimension consciousness does not dwell in the past. Their mind is automatically focused in the present moment with no effort required on their part at all whatsoever. It is simply a state of being that is automatically lived in. All right, so sounds pretty good, wouldn't you say? Sounds, obviously, the bliss part and the moving through, you know, a lot of these strifes of the third dimension fall away. And again, if you've been doing your work with your meditation and taking your time taking the you time to do these things, I'm sure you've noticed that the time, it becomes irrelevant. And of course, even if you're not doing those things, any kind of a dream you've had, you know, you can live hours or lifetimes in minutes, which really apparently in your brain was more like seconds, if that, to construct this whole lifetime in your head while you're dreaming. So obviously this is a place that, you know, we need to embrace these new ideas of time and how to deal with time. And are we running always behind time? Are we always running to catch up with time? Or are we just running with the flow of time? And that seems to be the best way to go, because also you can live longer. And again, it's all about the paradox, but it's not about living longer for the sake of living longer. It's living longer because you're having so much fun and you're not noticing the time. So you end up living longer because you're happy. How about that? That's the Bashar that I was gonna play in a nutshell. It's a minute and 14 seconds, but it's quite a concept for the brain. How about I let him say his thing and then we can discuss?
The idea certainly is that you can live longer lives. But the paradox of the situation is that the way, in a sense, you will actually live longer is by living more in the single moment of now. And when you live more in the now, you'll be so busy having fun, it is simply that you won't create as much time, but when you look at time relative to yourself, it will appear as if you have lived hundreds of years, but they will have gone in joy and excitement so quickly that you will not feel tired at all, because it will have nothing really to do with linear time. Is this making some sense to you?
Yes.
When you live in the moment, that is when you expand your lifespan, but that's only a relationship to linear time. It doesn't mean you actually are dragging out the years. It simply means that you have expanded to such a point by living in the here and now that the expansion of your energy is represented in linear time as an existence of several hundred years, because an existence of several hundred years is the only way that linear time can express an expansive life so grand. But it will not seem like 900 years to you.
Good.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How about that? So really, being happy is not just a good idea because of all that happiness. It's also a good idea because you can be happy longer in this body experiencing this lifetime, which, if it's an enjoyable one, you would want to hang out for. And if it's not, then, you know, who cares? Right? So, but if you're enjoying your life, you can live more of your life. Just very interesting concepts. And the fact that we are blessed to be here during this time of massive transition. This is the difference between people living 50 years ago, 150 years ago, 500 years ago. The alignments were just not the way that they are now. So we're going through, we're breaking through to the other side into the fourth and fifth dimensions. And so this idea of time and also our lifespans, how do we want to spend our time? So we'll get into that. How about that? What are you doing? What do you like doing? I understand that a lot of us have to do things that we don't necessarily like to do in order to get money. And of course, making the best of that situation is a good idea. Of course, of course. But what are you doing with, if you have those 5 minutes or a half an hour for lunch, what are you doing with the time after work? What are you doing with your weekends? nobody's working 24/7. And if you are, maybe you should take a look at that and see if that's really, really what you want to do. You know, if you're someone like Nikola Tesla, who's just constantly can't stop thinking about it, doesn't really want to have anything to do with the world, I just need to make this and I am driven. Okay, great. Then that is clearly following your excitement. Anything else is going to be some, you know, beeswax. Shouldn't say that. You know, beeswax, come on. That's like one of the greatest things. Okay, so let's scratch that. It's just some bullshit. Anyway, but if you're not Nikola Tesla and in that level of loving what you do and you're working 20, 17, 12 hours a day, first step, look at your vibration that you're putting out there and start visualizing something else. And that's where spending your time removing yourself from not liking what you're in. Spending the time going, okay, this is what I don't like. Things that I don't like are only there to show me what I do like. So let's think about what I do like. If I don't like that, then what do I like? And so you're basically training yourself at the same time to understand more and more what you like to do, what makes you happy. And then you know more of yourself and you understand yourself better. And then you can move through and do things easier. There's not so many voices chatting in your head when you try to catch the bus or, you know, get yourself in bed at a reasonable hour. You know, those are things that slow us down. There's just so much chatter in the head. You know, it takes me 5 minutes to pluck out like something that makes sense to me. So that's one way that, you know, you're just running yourself ragged in your head, and then there's this feeling of exhaustion, right? So those are some ways to go. It's really about what do you love to do. Let me see what my solving problems. All right. That's the solving problems is the Abraham that I want to play. Just to close up on the Bashar, you know, to open our minds to new ideas of how to work with time. I mean, I'm kind of pontificating here on different scenarios, seeing if maybe I'll touch on one of yours. But if you do have a question, please go ahead and send me a private message on Facebook, Spirit Therapy with Nicole, and I will surely answer it. And check out Daughters of Isis, our wonderful sponsor. Today, I'm using the Walking Lion, the Inner Gratitude, and it is very grounding. It kind of smells a little bit like horses to me, but I have a weird sense of smell, so it may not be that for you, but it feels like very earthy, mammally, big. Like I love the horses and I love the big cats, and they kind of have somehow a similar smell to me. You know, all those big cats that I've been hanging out with in the jungle. But anyway, that's what I think they smell like. So anyway, but I like that smell. It's very grounding to Mother Earth for me, and also sweet. There's like a flower meadow going at the same time. So there you go, Walking Lion at daughtersofisis.com. All right. All right, we touched on a lot of things here. I'm just looking over my notes. All right. So how about we move on to the Abraham, and we'll go from there.
I just speak in your common vernacular, and that's what you do. You are.
Sorry, I should set this up. This guy was talking about having a child with mental health needs. And his vibration's kind of annoying, so I kind of cut him off in the beginning, and I also cut him off in the end. But I think what Abraham's answer is a great thing, and it's called solving problems is not the way to go. So I'm playing it to show how we can spend our time and move our vibration in a way that will be helpful so that things work themselves out in time, and it's not that we have to have this control over everything that happens in the future, you know. So it's freedom and liberating is what I'll say. So here we go.
I just speak in your common vernacular, and that's what you do. You are action-oriented to your detriment. And we're not trying to talk you out of action. We're just wanting to talk you into alignment first and then inspired action. Because when you start wobble-free and law of attraction gets momentum going, it gets going. You feel it, and you become invincible. And everybody around you sees it, you see. Just don't take problems and bring them to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Let them be. In other words, get wobble-free and then. Get on your high-flying disc and then. Get into the vortex and then. Yeah. Create your vibrational atmosphere and then. Let it be about energy. Let it be about emotion. Let it be about the way you feel. And then watch what happens. And stay off the challenging subjects for now. Stay off the challenging subjects forever. Stay off the challenging subjects forever. The challenge is where the wobble is. It's not where the energy is. You cannot get there from there. Get in your center and watch law of attraction help you out. And understand. You can understand. Oh, please understand. We want you to understand. Mm-hmm. We want you to know what we know. You are pretty much knowing what we know. Can you feel it? Can you feel that? So now we're going to tell you what we know, because now most of you are feeling resonance with what we know. Source is on your side. Source knows who you are and where you are in relationship to everything you want. All of this is lined up for you. Spotlight shined all over the place. As spotlight shined all over the place on path of least resistance for you. Go there. Call this one. Do this. Feel this. All the path unfolding. We're not kidding you about that. And when you're chilled, when you're happy, when you're easy, then the ideas just flow so easily to you. And you begin to feel that magic carpet ride. You begin to feel that worthiness. Yeah.
Well, my wobble isn't, because I know there's nothing to do. I know I've surrendered to that. And yet
you're still talking about it.
Well, my wobble is in, as a parent, holding on to the idea of her being independent.
We don't care. None of what you're saying or thinking now.
Yeah.
Even though on the chart of human events, it should be way up there to be concerned about your children.
Right.
And we're not trying to get you to not think about your children. We're just saying, can you feel the difference between this and where we just were?
Yes.
And that's what gets you every time. It's this feeling that I need to take care of these things. I need to take care of these things. And then once I've taken care of these things, I've got to control the conditions.
Yeah.
And once I've controlled the conditions, then I'll be where I need to be. And we say, give it up. Don't try to control the conditions. Control the vibration of your being. Control the relationship between you and who you are. That's where your control is. That's the only control you have. And once you master that control, everything around you will fall right into place.
But I'm not trying to control conditions. I'm trying to let go of my sense of what I, you know, my hope for her.
All right, so let's just take a minute and go there. He's stubborn. Let's just take a minute and go there. So we're not going to talk about anything out there down here where the emotion is, at the most general emotional potential for least wobble place there is, what emotion best describes the way you most often feel about her? Worry.
Hopeless? Yeah, hopeless.
Hopeless.
Yes.
So sit with that for just a little bit, and then We just want to ask you something that it will be easy for you to answer. Do you love this girl?
Absolutely.
You love her? You do?
Yes.
Do you know you don't love her and feel hopeless at the same time? So right now, we want you to choose between hopeless and love. Because it is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So which do you choose?
Love.
All right, so now that you've chosen that, feel it a little bit and give us a detail of that a little bit. In other words, you can describe it in some way. Esther can't describe it. She was looking at Luke the other day. She couldn't even put words to it. She couldn't find any words.
So I think that guy is, I don't know if you felt it, but I think that guy is so annoying because he represents an annoying part that I think we all can relate to. That, like, you know, the sighing, like, listening to his headphones, like, oh my God, even this guy's sigh is annoying. But it's because there's no, it's very sort of like needy and passive. And the hopelessness, I mean, he summed it up in one word. His vibration is that of hopelessness. And, you know, we kind of want to shun that. We want to kill that. That's also our animal instinct to go, weak one in the herd. Also, wrong vibration. Wrong, 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 you know. But to notice that we can also do these things to ourselves, like, you know, feeling like we have to solve all kinds of things that are really not up to us. And controlling the time, controlling how much time things take. Well, I need to have this done by Friday. That's because, why? Because I say so, because it has to happen, because the people are waiting for it. So, you know, all right, it may be done by Tuesday, but it may not be done on Friday, no matter what your intentions were. And then what? So, like, this feeling, this control, trying to place control where we don't have control. And that's why I played Abraham's response, which is basically the only thing you have the control is yourself and the way you respond to certain things. So I think it's about taking the time to understanding yourself and doing things that you enjoy and looking at yourself. So without trying to control yourself, you actually have more control of yourself because you understand yourself better. And then actions can unfold. Like Abraham also said, things do line up, but whenever you've just gone with the flow, I mean, think about your favorite vacation or just a really great time that you had with someone recently or a fond one in memory of how you felt and what happened. How did things line up when you were having this wonderful time on the beach, out to dinner, whatever, and you know, they had our table, we had this perfect table, we sat and we looked outside and we had this perfect view of the river, and then we went out to this place and this guy was like, hey, come here, and we went and we listened to some awesome jazz, and you know, those synchronicities, it didn't have to go that way, but it did. And why? What was the vibration that you offered to that situation? You offered allowing and happiness. And then what did you get? A lot of things that allowed you to have more happiness. So that's why making time peace with the time gods is a good idea. And also relaxing our reins on time and our concept of time. You know, time is eternal and everlasting, and it just goes and goes. And actually, apparently, when you look at it from a physics standpoint, there is no time. There's time, but it's our perception of time, of things moving forward. Everything actually is existing all at once, all at the same time. All things and possibilities are all already existing somewhere, somehow. So we are just blinking through all kinds of dimensions and situations and places, and maybe not even moving. Like our soul may not move at all, but all kinds of pictures and things move around. And so we see the tick, 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 tick of the clock. This time I did this. This year I did that. You know, it helps. We need time to be able to understand where we've been and where we're going. And I think in the last 15 minutes, I will talk a little bit about time travel. Obviously, I don't mean getting into some sort of time machine, at least not yet, but traveling back in time or traveling into the future of your life in pictures, because, you know, if you've watched those specials on athletes doing, running through their routines in their head and hooked up to all kinds of brain machines, there is no difference between actually doing the thing and running it over in your head, watching yourself do it and seeing yourself do it as if you were in the activity. Your brain doesn't know the difference. So when you go back in time, you can look into exactly what was happening then, especially if you have a good memory. Even not, you know, there's exercises you can do. You can either, you know, just choose something, choose a place in time, like 12. Think of a memory when I was 12. So 12, you may need a little bit of a map, right? 12, I was in this grade, I lived here, I looked like this, you know, and then come up with a memory and see. And you can learn a lot about yourself that way as well. Also, going back into some time that either was very painful or very joyous to reap the understanding if maybe some of it was not realized. How about that? You know, I hesitate with this topic because a lot of the teachers that I listen to often, they're not big fans about going into the past and fixing anything. You know, there's nothing to fix. But until proven otherwise, I think that going into the past is actually can be a very good thing. You can't get stuck there, obviously, and you don't want to bring all kinds of feelings that you don't want back. But you can't bring anything back. If they're here, they're already here, so you might as well deal with them. So that's where I think going into the past can be a really good idea, especially to clean up something where there may be some hatred, there may be some revenge feelings, there may be some victim feelings, like, oh, if so-and-so hadn't done such-and-such to me, or if such-and-such hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't be in this state right now or whatever, you know. But so to go back to those places and really look at them and bless them and release them. At the end of the day, it's all about thank you for the lessons and thank you for being in my life and thank you for the wisdom and the understanding from going through that so that I can empower myself and strengthen myself now because of that experience. I mean, it's always the way you want to go is a strength way. So, and then to do the same thing with happy memories, you know, when was I really happy? Oh, that time when I was 16, I went to that party and I felt good and my hair just had a good hair day and my dress was, I remember feeling really beautiful and I had such interesting conversations and the night was perfect, you know, to feel those and go, wow, I want to feel more of those. You know, that's me at my happiest. So you learn a lot about yourself that way, as well as going into the future. One of the guests that we had, oh, I can't remember her name. But anyway, on the Consciousness Shift with Gwen on Saturdays at 3 p.m., that's our other show. And so we had guests on, and she was talking about looking at what life is like after the thing that you want so much right now happens. What happens after that? How do you feel after it happens? And to spend some time looking at that so that you can open up that portal for when you get there, at least vibrationally, as to this is how I want it to feel, is this beautiful way or better. That's always a fail safe. We like to put in this or better, which basically opens you up to all possibilities, and so the universe can move freely without it having to be, oh, really, these specifications? But ours is so much better. But she said, these specifications? All right. You know, there may be some of that. So, all right. Well, 10 minutes. Okay. I'll leave you with this thought. Taking your time, I think, is the best thing that you could get from this hour, at least. Taking your time. If you don't feel like you have enough time, then actually take your time. And maybe if you stop trying to run around so much and rush and actually slowed down and took your time, things would actually progress much sooner, which just places you on time. This is something that I'm toying with lately because I realize, if you have been listening, I had all kinds of knee fakakta-ness last week and my whole left side was crying out. Well, I think what was happening is the woman felt like she was being dragged down the street by the male. Come on, it's fine. Come on, it's fine. Come on, it's fine. It's fine with the problem. And finally, she just sat her ass on the curb and was like, no, I'm going to sit here and cry too much too fast. And he's like, what? What's going on with you? So I, you know, leg things, knee things, ankle things can be about moving and walking forward in life, but it can also be about trying to move too fast through life, which is just my nature. I don't think I will ever breed that out of myself, nor would I want to, because, you know, it comes in handy very, very often. But again, we're all learning to balance ourselves. So with the knee thing, it was take your time. We all know you can go fast, Nicole. What happens when you go slow? Can you go slow? And through my research of life, I've noticed that when I take my time, everything just unfolds perfectly. And in the beginning, you do feel like you're really taking your time. Like, things do feel like they're moving slow. You're like, okay, I'm doing this. We're doing this. Yes, we're doing this. This as in brushing my hair. Here we are brushing our hair. You're like, wow, this is pretty slow. But if you can get used to some of that pace, once you get used to that pace, it speeds itself up. And then you still feel like you're in that peace and calm while you're brushing your hair, but it just doesn't take as long according to the clock. But it still has that same, you know, plenty of time movement through time. So to put those in and to see, you know, what happens. If you feel like you don't have enough time, or you're running out of time, or you're running against time, what happens if you take your time? Because it's really up to you. You're the only one that can take it. No one can give it to you, only you. And taking your time for rest, and taking your time to eat your food and to chew your food and to taste your food. Many of us, I will include myself in this category, sometimes we get to the point where we're so ravenous when we finally get around to eating that you don't care. I mean, your body is just like, feed me. So you got, you know, feed the beast. But all right, but even in those times, and especially if you're looking to shed some pounds, that's a very helpful tool, because your body and all of your senses and your consciousness is more aware of what you're eating more fully with every bite. So it feels like you've been eating for longer, and then your body goes, wow, we've been eating for a while. That's enough, which may be a time to stop before you normally would stop if you were shoveling it in like your life depended on it, you know. So yeah, taking your time and sleep. Get some rest, people. Really. I mean, if you do nothing else, take a nap. If you're not a good napper, well, figure it out. Then start daydreaming and just staring out the window or just do something, knitting, I don't care. Just do something that is some just, I'm not doing performing an action right now. You know, remove yourself physically from the situation so that you can get your brain right so that when you do go into action, it just works out better. It's just, it goes. It goes by its own volition. So I'll leave you with that. And it comes back to this running theme I've been talking about for a few weeks now, which is trust. Trust that everything is working out in your favor. Trust that the universe is looking out for you. Why? Because the universe is you. You are the universe. The universe is you, and everything else is you, and you are everything else. So you're always going to look out for you because you always love you, and you will always help you out. So there is much love for you here, as our wonderful teachers say. And yeah, peace and love. Let's see if... I kind of want to play Madonna again. I think I'm going to do that. All right. Oh, and it is Mercury retrograde. So this is also a time for the rewords, renew, release, relax, rethink, rejuvenate, anything. But it's going to be go time very, very soon. So the more time you take for yourself now, the better it will be when things really start moving at a clip. So take it away, Madonna. Peace and love, and see you next week. Blessings to you all.